day me chop a tune where them call name delete. From a mile like a drum dirty heart it a beat. No for them a wolf, I pretend like them a sheep. Me a one DJ and none of them can defeat. I ready now, me ready now fi take back the road. Me ready now fi take back the road. Cause some follow the recally load. Fully bad lyrically load. Baby mother kick me out. Tell me about me a troublemaker now. Them a ask me where me a do with long mouth Rebecca. But I know the long mouth and the amount. Me a go for who no go and complain about life so far, who a suffer. Me a come a parent go sit down a ton prof ya. Anyway the money de sample who a go for. Try stop me color. Somebody a go holla. None of them fool ya can't cheat me na me color. Everywhere me go and everywhere me turn. Creation a
step on your name with a bag of yard is a litter. This year them cut Jesus slippers. Them a fool. Give them your things and them still come down and shoot you. Give them kind of friendship and suit you. Do me a chat a little truth, yes, put you. Cut. All of who are mama son locked down. A first class man a flight to the stop down. Now use them, now use them. Prayers no answer, so me now cut them. All of who are mama son locked down. First class man a flight to the stop down. Now use them, now use them. Them want to me cut down. Me sit down a lot of time and see them. Your things are diamond, give them. Me see you take your Kyle and give them. Still away at them while you build a island, feed them. Them a crow, them know why you prosper. From your tongue, they get a tuna in a lobster. None of them want to see disaster. One four wheel, take your body to the pasture. Them, sky me a river, and I swear, too much them love me. But when I see a sea choker, I'm a good fool, no fool, let her hover. A lot of people eat we out here. Push up this line, we don't care. Poor fingers down. Up, just up, earth and tear. All of who are mama son locked down. A first class man a flight to the stop down. Me nah use them, me nah use them. Prayers no answer, so me nah pop down. All of who are mama son locked down. First class man a flight to the stop down. Me nah use them, me nah use them. In 9 years, me a musty pioneer. Overdrive like Porsche Panamere. Still remember dumpling and butter. Me Bordeaux and Ebola Ampere. A boy vex and no ass in his ear.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing.
On.
There is this thing going on.
What
do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called?
The news brought to you live.
You're listening to the Prison Radio Show. My name is Virginia.
And my name is Candace.
And we're your hosts for today's show. On today's show, we're going to hear audio from an event that happened 2 weeks ago in support of Jahlil Muntakim. Jahlil is a political prisoner and former Black Panther who has been incarcerated for over 40 years in New York State. He's up for parole in June of this year, and people are mobilizing to make a big show of outside support to push for his parole. For more information on his case, you can visit freejahlil.com. We will also be joined in the studio by Elena from the Talk to Me project. On our last show, we played new audio from the project, which aims to record and share the stories, thoughts, and opinions of Black men who are or who have been incarcerated. Elena will talk to us about the project. We will also be playing some new audio from the project. But first, some news items. According to CBC News, as of March 2, 2016, prisoners at the Regina Correctional Center in Saskatchewan are on hunger strike again. 16 people in the high-security unit refused food and demanded that they be let out of their cells for longer than the 3 hours per day that they are currently allotted. Many of the folks on hunger strike are also on remand, which means they haven't yet been sentenced for anything. People are also demanding more space for exercise, 60 TV channels and a movie channel instead of the 12 they get now, and reduced prices for food at the canteen.
According to the Ottawa Citizen, recently released statistics show that prisoners were put in solitary confinement 555 times between April and September of last year at the Ottawa Carleton Detention Center. The article, published last week, goes on to state that the Registered Nurses Association of Ontario published a written submission to the Ontario Ministry of Justice's segregation review. The association urged the ministry to limit segregation periods to 15 days at a time. Another set of recently released statistics showed that 6 female prisoners at the Ottawa Carleton Detention Center spent at least 30 continuous days in segregation during a 12-month period beginning September 2014. There will be a demo happening in support of prisoners transferred from the Tanguay Provincial Prison on the island of Montreal to the La Claire Provincial Prison in Laval on Saturday, March 19th. The demo is meeting at 5 p.m. at Metro Henri Bourassa. We will read out the information for the demo at the end of today's show.
This next piece is audio from an event supporting Jalil Muntakim, who is up for parole in June of this year. Folks at the event talked about Jalil's influence on them, read his poetry out loud, and shared information about his fight for parole. Folks also talk about the recent death of India Cummings. India was incarcerated for 2.5 weeks in the Erie County Holding Center, a jail in downtown Buffalo that is currently monitored by federal authorities who describe it as a brutal and inhumane place. India, a young black woman, died under suspicious circumstances, and her family and community is still waiting for answers from the county. The audio you are about to hear is from an event that happened in Buffalo, New York. The event was organized by a group called Buffalo Save the Kids. The event was a launch for political prisoner Jalil Muntakim's newly released book of poetry, which is called Escaping the Prism. In the piece that follows, folks talk about Jalil, read excerpts from his poetry.
Let's do lots of events here, and tonight is to celebrate the launch of a newly revised edition of Exiting the Prism by former Black Panther political prisoner. He's still a political prisoner, former Black Panther, Jalil Muntakim. Jalil is up for parole in June of 2016. I was doing the math and hoping I was wrong. Parole comes up, what, every 2 years? Mm-hmm. He was first denied in 2002. So he's getting older. He is older now than he was at this, when this poster was made. His health is, you know, as good as you can expect for someone aging in prison, which means not very good. And so we're really hoping to make a big push, let people know more about what's going on with him. Yeah, there's a lot of information over here about everything you need to know to write a nice, good parole letter on his behalf. There's a trifold there. Information about Buffalo Save the Kids. And someone had asked me, you had asked me, about Buffalo Save the Kids, and maybe thinking, you know, what does Buffalo Save the Kids want to care about Jalil Muntakim? It's an organization, entirely grassroots, national at this point, that started in Syracuse, actually, by some youth that were in a juvenile detention facility, and basically said, you know, you claim you want to help us, why are you throwing us away, why don't you save us? And so the group was formed there. And a lot of the issues that come to my mind when thinking about the mass incarceration system in this country, Save the Kids is abolitionist. And one of the first steps is seeing to it that no one under 18 is in prison for anything. Murder, you know, you name it, grand larceny, whatever people are calling felonies these days for whatever reason. None at all. And so we are very much in favor of supporting people that have been about the cause of liberation, including smashing the prison industrial complex, like Brother Jalil is. Not just was, but is. And also, he joined the Black Panthers when he was 17. And my understanding of a great many of the Panthers at that time is they were young and not only passionate and about liberation, but like young enough to really push the ball forward in a big way. And I think very similarly, the school-to-prison, cradle-to-prison pipeline, it's targeting the young, chopping them off at the knees before they can learn, before they can, you know, channel their passion towards good. And so it's a cause that's very, very important to Save the Kids, and especially Buffalo Save the Kids.
So I'm Dave Riley, and I teach at Niagara University. I've been to see Jaleel twice. I've corresponded with him quite a bit, and in thinking about tonight, the focus of my comments are, it's a tragedy he's not here to present his own book, and so I'm trying to put myself into his position and think about what would he actually want to communicate through his work and through his message. What are the themes from his poetry? He speaks of resistance. How does he envision resistance to oppression? In his poetry, that resistance takes the form of nurturing love, of confronting fear, of gaining awareness, awakening, fostering interconnectedness, and envisioning a better way. So, for example, his message is about survival and self-actualization as an outsider in a poem called Outpost, where he declares, "But when you renounce allegiance and declare yourself free, you purge the enemy from where he used to be. Becoming independent to thought, putting your self-interest first, is one step up a ladder that each step could make you matter. In knowing how the enemy's outpost, in your mind, denied you the time, the reason, or the rhyme, to know your rightful place, sublime in honor of the world's combined populations, no matter the race or nation. No, I'm not an American, for I have no desire to claim its history of rape, murder, and pillage, as there is no longer an enemy outpost in my mind." His message on connectedness and reaching out and joining from brotherhood. Unveiling the veil of hypocrisy, confronting our reality, knowing we have the right to be in fraternal unity. On personal sacrifice and struggle, from What Is Your Question? There is no change that doesn't begin without yourself. So stop blaming others because you fail to commit to the test. On Truth and Justice, a poem called I Seek Truths. Yet I seek universal truths that match the colors of a prism and tip a kaleidoscope on its end, forcing it to pour a rainbow of understanding into the black hole of my reality. His truth includes a resistance to slavery of any form, a rejection of oppression, action against any and all imperialism. And it speaks directly to imprisonment, both metaphorically and literally. And I want to end with one other poem called With All My Heart. Bound by chains, you would claim they sustain a reason to remain, sane in a world of racial turmoil. Each link with each desperate move tightens across your chest, making breathing uneasy when a single child was unable to sleep, eat, or live free. Wrapped in a steel coil, as would an anaconda, resistance so futile, you settled yourself with a determined will to challenge and unselfishly transform its embrace into the kinetic energy of a revolutionary evolutionary. You knew its squeeze would only make you stronger. Captured in its gray polished glint, motivated never to relent, arming yourself and others with notions of freedom, emancipation, liberation. To think free, to live free, despite efforts to incapacitate the beauty of your words, ideas, and spirit in action. Eager to be chained, bound by your example. For it is often said, one labors for that which one loves. One loves that for which one labors. for these chains, your chains, our chains, are of love. The love of freedom, the love of humanity, the love of life by which all sincere revolutionaries are bound. The unbreakable chains of love each of us are linked by until divine providence calls us home. Marilyn, we celebrate your love. And this was dedicated to Marilyn Buck, who died on 8/3/10.
We have a brilliant, well-spoken student leader at Niagara University. She's like, you don't look at And I was hoping you could maybe, because you met Reverend Jovial.
Yeah.
And if you could come up and maybe tell what that was like.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay. Natasha Johnson.
Hello, everybody. I'm Natasha Johnson. I go to Niagara University. I'm a senior there. I'm getting ready to graduate. I met Jalil back at the beginning of last year, 2015. I honestly don't have much to say about him because when I was there, he only wanted us to talk about ourselves. And what he told me was, because at that time, interestingly enough, I was going through some of my own problems as far as being in the military and then not agreeing with the military. Mm. And I didn't understand what it is I should do. And he told me that he blamed himself for me being in the military. Mm. And I asked him why. Why do you blame yourself? Like, I just met you today. I didn't understand. But he said that because he said it's only natural to want order and to desire a leader and have something to look up to. And he said that he felt bad because the Black Panther Party didn't work the way that he wanted it to work, because if that was there, I could join the Black Panther Party and move up in the ranks that way. And he felt like, so basically what he told me was continue doing what I'm doing and always remember where I come from and who I am, mm. and then always go back to where I come from and apply it to where I'm from, and never forget what's important and who I am as a Black woman. Like, to always remember that, because that's what you are. So that helped me a lot. It helped me come to my decision, and I felt less, I didn't feel as conflicted. And I respect that coming from somebody like him, because I feel like I kind of come from the same train of thought, and my family issues are were a little non-existent, so he kind of provided a mentorship for me. So that's what I got for my situation.
For those of you just tuning in, you're listening to the Prison Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM. This is audio from the launch event for political prisoner Jalil Muntakim's newly released book of poetry called Escaping the Prism. In the next section, you will hear folks talking about the death of a young Black woman named India, who died after being imprisoned for 2.5 weeks in the Erie County Holding Center in downtown Buffalo.
Again, I don't know, sort of sadly coincidental, you might have heard of a young Black woman named India that died recently, just moments outside of the holding center. And at some point in the information that I read, she was, well, for those that don't know, she was smoking K2, which is the, you know, quasi-legal substitute for marijuana. I mean, I know a lot of people that use it if they kind of get drug tested at work, but they like, you know, I gotta have this calming or whatever it is that the marijuana gives them. Naturally, they use the K2, but it causes hallucinations and can cause severe mental distress. She was suffering from all that, called for help, and ended up in the holding center. And at some point during the 2.5 weeks that she was there, her family came to see her, of course, and was told that she was not receiving visitors. So that just...
Whatever that means.
Exactly, and whatever that means.
I mean, yeah, well, I think we know what it means.
Several, you know, bones broken. She was just in really, really bad shape at the point at which she died. And of course, the authorities have said she did it all to herself. But the point about visiting, it might not seem like much. It might seem, you know, a little daunting. I know the first time I went to Attica, I was like, oh my gosh, this is Attica. Are they going to let me out? You know? it's a scary place. But it's so incredibly important. Even if you, I don't know, can only stay a few hours, can only go once a month, once every 2 months, it's really, really important to let the powers that be know that he is loved, he is remembered, that he's very much a part of people's lives. Part of the whole deal with, reminded me, Professor Riley, about the Panopticon. When I was studying the history of prisons in the U.S., they moved them further and further away. So now they're like out in the woods, you know, the kind of place I was afraid to break down. Like, yeah, us two black women are going to really ask for directions out here. And, you know, so to open that door as much as possible. Yes, he does have a great website with, you know, his blog. But just to go there, show your face as someone who loves him and cares about him. It lets people know, you know, there's this. People are going to know, you know, people are going to know what's going on with him.
And what it means for the inmate, I've been there, having somebody come and visit you just means the world. Break up that monotony, you know, make you feel loved and respected and cared about, so it'd be a great thing.
So this poem is called Back to Blackness. The blackness burst in a subnuclear explosion of intellectual energy evolving from a paragon of nothing, cascading its brilliance upon the earth, revealing a universal matrix of creation. The colors of a prism shimmered in a kaleidoscope of life, feeding the frenzy, forcing upon all the fortunate of love in order to perpetuate its primordial existence. While fortune fought not to be denied, darkness sought to claim the right not to hide, to be set aside, to again be black, to absorb the colors of the prism and prohibit the shimmering of the kaleidoscope, to return the miscegenation, to forge the accumulation into an amalgamation. This epic battle, born of a battalion of warriors weary of pontifications, of humanity's exclamation, weary and wanting no more wars. Species having weathered and been withered, as gravity grieves the quantum frenzy, all is frozen as time envelops upon itself and life stands still momentarily. To instill the need for the return of the unification of blackness.
So this poem is titled My Poetry. My poetry is sharpened knives clipping thorns off of roses. My poetry builds bridges over lava flows to step in spring streams. My poetry replaces hate with understanding and puts sugar in kisses. My poetry ravishes and plunders the greedy to feed the needy. My poetry puts the hue in humanity to consternation of racists and xenophobes. My poetry puts the stink in shit and makes you love the stench. My poetry is the bastard son of the hookers that satisfy your husbands and boyfriends and some of your girlfriends. You know it is all about love. My poetry is not fairy tales or lullabies or sing-alongs. No. It's a rebuke of the ostrich syndrome, a swift kick in the ass to make you stand up straight and take responsibility for your failures, demanding you live life fully and love completely. Even when I procrastinate, I write my poetry. My poetry puts the puzzle in an enigma, like a Rubik's Cube. You have to twist your mind to discover a solution. My poetry put the pan in Dora's box and swallowed the key to keep it locked. My poetry has a chip on its shoulder bigger than the heads on Mount Rushmore. My poetry is the calm before the storm and the silence in the dark. My poetry is the hypnotist's trance and the enlightenment of an epiphany. My poetry only asks for your ear to open your mind so your heart will hear my poetry tantalizing your soul. My poetry is my life. So that's the first poem in Escaping the Prison. And then finally, I wanted to turn this over to another called Speaking Spirits. When the spirit speaks, it shatters all illusions and delusions, for the spirit is the true reality.
It is sheltered within the physical shell. Often, it lays dormant in the warmth of a passionate heart. It's being nourished with affection and sincerity. Other times, it surges to the surface after being nudged and taunted from its sanctuary with lies and broken promises. Then it speaks with quiet resilience to reassure, or with rage to once again allow its reality to take its rightful place, for the spirit speaks only truth. Yet only the sincere, the affectionate, and the passionate listen and abide when the spirit speaks, recognizing that within themselves the same truths reside, nourishing their own hearts and souls. The spirit speaks, that's, or speaking spirits, rather.
That was audio from an event that happened in February in Buffalo, New York. The event was a launch for political prisoner Jalil Muntakim's newly revised book of poetry called Escaping the Prism. You can find it at chrisblebedeb.com.
And if you'd like to write a recommendation letter or sign a petition supporting Jalil Muntakim's release from prison, you can visit freejalil.org. And so now we wanted to announce a demo. There will be a noise demo happening in solidarity with prisoners transferred from Tanguay to La Claire. The demo is happening on Saturday, March 19th at 5 p.m. at Metro Henri Bourassa. So that is on the corner of La Jeunesse and Boulevard Henri Bourassa. And the call out for the demo reads as follows. Down with prisons, down with the detention centers and colonial borders. Solidarity with prisoners in struggle. We will be taking a bus out to Laval. We hope to be back at Henri Bourassa Metro by 8 p.m. We are asking folks to pay what they can for the bus, but no one will be turned away for lack of funds. Bring noisemakers, whistles, casseroles, fireworks. On our way back to Montreal, we will stop at the Tanguay prison for a symbolic action against all prisons and detention centers. So under the pretense of austerity measures, the prisoners at Tanguay Prison for Women in Montreal have been moved to La Claire Provincial Prison in Laval. This took place this past February. It remains to be seen whether the conditions inside, which were horrible at Tanguay, will become worse after the move to La Claire. For one thing, the women worry that the majority of the programs that were available to them at Tanguay will be cut after the move to La Claire. La Claire will become one of two prisons for women in Quebec, leaving those inside in some of the most precarious prison conditions in Canada. So join us on March 19th to let the prisoners know that we haven't forgotten them and that we support their current and future struggles inside. 80% of women in prison in Canada are incarcerated for reasons related to socioeconomic precarity. 34.5% are Indigenous women. 82% are survivors of sexual or physical violence. 2/3 of women in prison are mothers with primary childcare responsibilities. It is equally important to highlight the criminalization of sex workers and their overrepresentation in Canadian prisons. The majority of arrests within the sex worker milieu are arrests of female sex workers. In a nation founded on colonialism, capitalism, and patriarchy, the threat of prison is used to confine people within these systems and to disproportionately lock up Indigenous people, people of color, and poor people. In the last 5 years, the total number of women convicted of crimes punishable by time in prison increased by 40%, while the number of Indigenous women locked up increased by 85% in the last 10 years. This has nothing to do with the so-called increase in crime, since the crime rate has actually diminished. It has everything to do with racial profiling and the way that certain populations are kept in constant economic precarity. The overrepresentation of Indigenous women and women of color inside Canadian prisons plays a key role in racism and ongoing colonialism within Canada. Prisons don't make communities safer, they destroy communities. Prisons reflect and magnify the colonial, racist, and patriarchal realities that are part of everyday life in Canada. Down with prisons, freedom and dignity for all. And so for more information, you can contact Toute Détention et Politique at riseup.net.
And just to add, there was a typo on our run sheet. If you want to find out more information about Jalil, you can visit freejalil.com, not freejalil.org. It is currently 5:29 p.m. and you're listening to the Prison Radio Show on CKUT. Up next, we are going to play audio from the Talk to Me project. And then we're going to have a live interview with Elena Studley, one of the project organizers. Talk to Me is a project which interviews Black men who have been or are currently incarcerated. The interviews talk about people's experiences with prison in the hopes of sharing stories between Black communities in prison and Black communities outside of prison. On our last show, we played a half an hour of audio from the project. That audio talked about the lack of programming for people on so-called gang blocks in provincial prisons, how it is practically impossible to change out of a gang block once you've been labeled a gang member. It's also worth it to point out here that Black people are disproportionately labeled gang members when they end up in prison. Folks also talked in that audio piece about how guards don't follow through with the rules and regulations that govern their positions. And the interview also talked about the consequences of being labeled a high security or being put into a high security wing in prison. This is a good place to point out as well. There was a report released by the Office of the Correctional Investigator a couple years ago that talked specifically about the situation facing Black prisoners in Canada. And that report pointed out a bunch of important things, which is that Black prisoners are less likely to be able to find work in prison. They're more likely to be held until their statutory release date, which means that they are less likely to get parole. It also said that Black prisoners are more likely to be labeled dangerous offenders and more likely to end up on high security wings. So this project is happening in the context of all of that in Canada. So to start, we are going to play you about a 6-minute audio piece from this project.
All right, recording. Jail. CI, snitching, all that bullshit. Jail. Jail sucks. Jail you get when you make wrong decisions. Wrong decisions that fuck you up. And it could be spur of the moment temper. Because you could do wrong for a whole bunch of years and not get caught. The minute you actually just lose your mind at the wrong time and with the wrong person and you thought it was this and it turns out to be that, you put your ass in jail. Yeah, man. Fuck. I'm going to tell you, jail, dog. It changes some people, and then it makes some people worse when they go in. You know what I mean? It does a lot of different things because a lot of different energies are locked behind bars. You know what I mean? Fact of the matter is, it's like people do wrong, you know. But how much time are you gonna come out and do wrong, you know? Instead of changing and not going back, some people like to go to jail for the summer or like to go to jail for the winter because it's like a nice place to live because you get everything free, and if they ain't got nothing on the outside, they're going to always go back to fuck to jail because they were never wanted to learn nothing inside jail. So at the end of the day, I say jail, fuck man, free my peoples that's going through the shit. But jail don't rehabilitate nobody. Because there's not enough programs in jail to rehabilitate the people. All they do is take away from the people in jail. You understand? Most you could do is shoot some hoops and smoke the patch. Because they took away cigarettes from the people that have been smoking like for 25 and 30 years. And now they want to smoke. So they smoke the glue on the patch. 60-year-old sitting in jail with their pacemaker. And all the people that used to come and check them back in, like when they got knocked up in the 90s because they're doing life, died on them. Their mother died, their kids, whatever, they grown up and forgot about the man because he ain't coming out. And he's stuck in there all alone, dog. And it's not a few, it's like, yo, they have enough, they put your, you ever seen the fucking, you ever seen the cemetery for the jail inmates that like people didn't claim their bodies and shit? There's sticks at the cemetery in Mount Royal. True story. Sticks. Fucking sticks put into crosses. And they're all like by the dozens of people that just died in jail with their number. Just their number. Not their name, their number. Just their number. Jail. Jail turn you into a savage. Jail make you fight over a piece of bread. Shit you don't fight for in the streets, you will fight to death for in jail. Coffee, a fucking piece of bread. It'll turn you savage, man. Yeah, it'll turn you fucking savage quick. You know what I mean? If not, I see hard niggas act tough on the street and go to jail, and they're total bitch. They're in protect. And all this shit. Yo, it's crazy, man. Jail, you don't want it. People don't need jail in their life, man. People need education, money, and just to take care of their families and show love. But at the end of the day, dog, half of these men that made the mistake, bro, and that are living there, bro, they don't like it. And at the end of the day, they know that they want their freedom back. So when they take that shit away, bro, that's everything. You'd rather get shot in the face. I'd rather get shot in the face. Because at the end of the day, I adore my freedom. You know what I mean? I really do. I really, 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 really do. You know what I mean? At least I still have the freedom to get shot in the face. Instead of shot in the face, put in jail, and I'm still alive, living in this shit. You know what I mean? So
nothing can go through that shit.
You know what I mean? Like, so at the end of the day, like, you know what I mean? Freedom is a big thing. When they learn how to take away freedom, they learn how to control everybody in the fucking world. So at the end of the day, jail is no good, man. And especially when you just lose it on your girl and you want to slap up your girl. It's an automatic 6 months, man. It's an automatic 6 months straight up just waiting for your thing, and you don't even get to go to court because you got an automatic 6 months. So the sentence that they're going to leave you with at the end of the day is if you're going to get more time on the 6 months just from you fighting with your girl, and your girl goes, hey, I'm calling the police on you. You know what I mean? You can go up to the mountain one day, boy, drink, have the greatest time in the world. But now you're on top of the world, and one man gave you a one eye or whatever the fuck you thought it was because you're drunk. And it's always amplified when you're on that liquid courage. And end up in jail for most of your life. Or you get away with it and do it again because you thought you were slick. And then you get caught for this one and they find out you did that one. Now you got doubles. Anything could happen in this world. Life is fragile, man. So is your freedom. Trust me. I know. I've been locked up half my fucking life on this shit. From Shawbridge to Bordeaux, back to fucking me, being me and my mental. Be locked up in your mental. At the end of the day, man, just try to do your best, your very God willing best, to be as smart as a motherfucker and stay out of shit. Because at the end of the game, bro, it'll be the end of your game. Nobody else cares. It's the end of your game. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's your world, baby. It's your world. Stay out of jail.
So that was audio from the Talk to Me project. We've been joined in the studio by Elena Studley, who's involved in the Talk to Me project. Thanks so much for coming, Elena.
Thank you for inviting me, Virginia and Candice. Hi.
Hi. Do you want to start by talking a bit about that piece that we just heard?
What I like about this piece is 'cause we were two main people in the project that were doing the interviews at the beginning, and then the idea was to slowly but surely achieve a place where it would be FUBU type of work, like for us by us, meaning that people who live that reality would be behind the project. And the person who did the interview is not a person that I know. I never heard that that person was incarcerated, but had many people in his entourage and could reach people in a different way because they were people he had an intimate relationship with. So that was I really appreciate the way he was talking about, well, if you lose freedom, it's the best way to be controlled. This is what we hear a lot in the testimonies. As you said, a lot of people were isolated. Also, there are many people who are moved from prison to prison, never knowing what is the case of their trial. I'm francophone, so sometimes I will do that. And also, especially if they're not judged yet, but they're still in wait. And so that's one thing. I like the way that he could talk about really what happens inside. So yeah, that would be what I could say about this.
Okay. Do you want to tell us a bit about the original vision for the project?
Sure. Okay, so the idea It came for many reasons. I tend to go often in conferences talking about black issues, and very often this saying was coming back that black men are being incarcerated, and I would see that that voice was not present in those conferences, in those gatherings, and I know people who were incarcerated. Just in my childhood, I could see the taboo around it. It would be always, that person is not here, but nobody says what exactly not here means. And then that person comes back. And I could see the division it could create in families. I could also relate to my own story of being a black person who was always punished and never knew really why. But I was, I kind of saw the pathway, let's say, in my own terms, and I never lived prison, and it was kind of a fear that one day I would be incarcerated, and I wanted to have a place where we could have this story stored, so black people would tell their own story, just because also in the last. Well, in the report you mentioned, Virginia, for the last 10 years, the black population in prison has risen for like 80% and more, I think, and also indigenous people and white people, it has decreased in during the same time. And as you said, Candice, with that call out, that it's not because crime has changed, you know. That, but also knowing that slavery is kind of transformed into prisons. So if we don't tell this story, it will be, again, other people telling our story. So that was the main vision behind this, because if we go in that path and see that at some point the numbers are really frightening and we cannot turn back, and we didn't have that story written for our future generations, I had a fear of that scenario. So I wanted to create this project. That's it.
Can you talk a bit about the experience of creating the project? What was it like for you?
Okay, so we met both with people who were formerly incarcerated, and we had discussions with them, same thing also with calling in prison. Well, actually, we would receive calls, and sometimes one person would just pass on to the other people that they knew who wanted to participate as well. And we would just stay and wait for calls if they are coming. And I personally developed an attachment. It's really demanding in a way, just because you have to remain safe for people who are accepting to tell you so much about their lives and lost their freedom. So I was really humbled or touched by it. I don't know like what I could say else about that, but the process was really interesting. What I really want is them to be able to do it on their own at some point.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about some of the things that are specific to Quebec in terms of issues that black prisoners are facing? I know some folks in the project have talked about how language, for example, whether or not someone speaks French, has tied into barriers that black men are already facing in prison.
Yes. Without asking the question, that situation came up in almost every interview. I prefer to see discussion, but so the fact that the intersection of race and language is really present in their lives, and most of the people we talked to were people who are Anglophone English speaking, and they would mention that that was part of the racial profiling, that they would be addressed in French, and also that's my interpretation of it, but bullied into French. So if they were not speaking English, very quickly a random situation could become a situation where a policeman is involved and speaks to them in English, and if they are arrested, they won't say why they're arrested, they will say it in French, and too bad if you don't understand. But that's before going in prison. But even in prison, if they had certain needs in health or their situation, if they, and they were always replied in French in paper, but if ever they couldn't respond and give more details in French, their situation would be ignored. Mm. Yeah.
Can you tell us how many of these discussions, or how many people you ended up having these discussions with?
I know I've been absent for the project for a while, but I could say around 11 maybe. And also that includes family members who have people who were incarcerated or are incarcerated as well. But I think there are more, and the goal is to continue. Mm-hmm.
And were most of the people that you were speaking to experiencing imprisonment in a provincial context or in a federal context?
Both.
Both, okay. Yeah. What were some of the big themes that came up when you talked to people in these discussions, and what were some of the biggest concerns that people pointed out?
Well, we approached them asking them, not exactly, we didn't want to know anything about what they did or what they were accused of to be put in prison. Sometimes some shared a bit of information, and that's not what we kept in the recordings, just for their safety. But we asked, what is their idea of the pathway to prison? And that's what I want to try to avoid when I'm the outsider trying to explain a situation that I never lived. I had the goal of talking to them and in the conversation having moments where it would be shown that the system brings you there. But never it was really explained. Maybe one person actually, but sometimes there was that idea that, well, you did something and you deserve it, but then prison is still bad. That was one thing. I don't know how to complete that idea, but that was one thing we asked also. Like, for example, when you said that they are labeled as dangerous offenders, but also the other thing is either it's dangerous offenders, or it would be womanizers, therefore pimp. That's like the equation over there. And that's what comes to my mind right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You already talked about this a little bit, but if you want to expand on things you feel like you learned from doing this project.
That's kind of something that I learned afterwards, is there's a beautiful idea behind gathering testimonies, but also there's a profound respect for who you're interviewing that is important for me. And I realized that it's not safe to me to go into people's lives if I don't know how to treat that trauma, if ever a wound is open while I receive all this testimony. And also I really became aware of my gaze, which I find can be problematic. Other than that, I just love the way that the black communities is something real and is something strong. And even though they could say that they live isolation in prison, never I heard that they felt abandoned by their community, which I find beautiful. Yeah.
So from the way you were talking before, it sounds like there's definitely plans for this project to continue, yeah?
Yeah, I know that, DESTA is a center, the Black Youth Center that is called DESTA in Little Burgundy, really, really, really helped us connecting with participants, and they want to create a space where discussion can happen, a space also where people who live that reality feel that they can go and receive any type of support that they would like, or just meet people, you know, like, when you're out, what do you do? That's not an easy question to answer for everybody. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that's definitely a plan. And I know that there will be a talk. I know that you have the information with you that you can share with us. Also, continue to play it on radio stations. Have a place where it's stored on the internet where people can go and listen and stay up to date.
Cool. Yeah, so as Elena just mentioned, an episode from Project Talk to Me will be presented as part of an open community chat at DESTA, which is the Black Youth Network. The event is happening on Wednesday, March 16th, starting at 5:30 p.m. And for those who don't know, DESTA is located at 1950 St. Antoine West, near Georges Vanier Metro. And all are welcome to attend, and you can check out DESTA's Facebook page for more information. We've been talking to Elena Studley of the Talk to Me project. For people who want to look for Talk to Me's audio on the internet, the URL is https://www.mixcloud.com/talk_to_me/. So you can check out some of the audio online, and we will play as much audio as we get from the project on this radio show. So
great.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show, Elena.
Thank you for the invitation. I really appreciate it.
This last piece is a new audio piece from Mumia Abu-Jamal about the meaning of solidarity.
Solidarity. The word has been spoken for the better part of a century at least. Like many words of such ancient vintage, what it means today may vary from what it meant at the dawn of the 20th century. For we mustn't forget the 20th century was among the bloodiest of the history of man, not to mention women. World War I and II were modern-day charnel houses, the flowing blood of millions, genocide for the racist excesses of capitalism and imperialism. What does solidarity mean today? We know what it doesn't mean. Press releases, leaflets, a formulaic statement from various leaders. It means sharing struggle and sacrifice, often on the ground, together. Solidarity means shared struggle and sacrifice, now across the illusory walls of ivory towers and the ivied silos of separation. It means shared threats and danger. It means that or nothing. It also means that no one movement can cure the ills that faces us. That means we must learn to accept other struggles, to embrace them, to build real, functional unity against a system that is literally killing us. If we can't build a sufficient movement, how can we build and transform a nation? This is not a rhetorical question. It's a real one that must be resolved and answered honestly. For complete social transformation must be our goal, or else the system will don a new mask and torment the lives and dreams of millions anew. Solidarity must be more than a word, a press release, a tweet, or a promise. It must become our activity, what we do as opposed to what we say, our reality. For only then can a new future come into being. I wrote these words last night, but upon reflection, I want to add something, just extemporaneously. As I wrote these words, I was thinking about a person that is familiar to all of you, at least his name is. I was thinking about Fred Hampton, the former Deputy Minister of Defense of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panther Party. A young guy, 20, 21. This is the man that the Chicago Police Department and the FBI killed in his bed. Why did they do that? not just because he was a Black Panther, or they would have done it to all of us. Their intelligence taught them and showed them that this young man was a powerful organizer. He was the man who really built the original Rainbow Coalition. And he understood that by working with poor white working class people in Illinois, poor Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, Asian Americans. He understood that to make a revolution takes all of us. And they understood it. His enemies understood it. That's why they killed him in his sleep. Learn the lesson of Fred Hampton, to work together to build a true revolutionary movement to transform this hell that is our present. I thank you for your time. On the move. Long live John Africa. Let us end the mass incarceral state. Free the Move 9 from imprisoned nation. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
To hear more audio by Mumia and to learn more about his court battle for hepatitis C treatment, you can check out prisonradio.org. You can also check out past episodes of the Prison Radio Show at prisonradioshow.wordpress.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Prison Radio Show. The Prison Radio Show airs twice a month on CKUT. We're on the air on the second Thursday of the month at 5 p.m. and the fourth Friday at 11 a.m. The next Prison Radio Show will air on Friday, March 25th at 11 a.m. If you have any questions on anything that you've heard on today's show, or if you wish to be involved with the show, you can contact us at prison@cqt.ca. Formerly incarcerated people are encouraged to participate. Folks can also leave a message on our listener comment line at 514-448-4041, extension 2547. If you are in prison, we encourage you to participate in the show in any way possible. You can write to us at the Prison Radio Show or simply write PRS, care of CKUT, 3647 University Street, Montreal, Quebec, H3A2B3.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Prison Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Virginia.
And my name is Candace.
And we've been your hosts for today. Please stay tuned.
Hey, you want to find a cell phone? $500, bro. Come on, man. $5. Bro. You can get it for $5.
I told you.
You always messing it up.
Well, give me my Metro card.
Locked up, they won't let me out. And I had a long day in court, stress me out. Won't give me a bail, they can't get me out. Now I'm headed to the county, gotta do a bid here. I'm used to living luxurious, I don't wanna live here. The walls is gray, the clothes is orange. The phones is broke, the food is garbage. A lot of niggas is living with these circumstances. SP's the same, I still murk your manses. Drug money to rap money, work advances. Ran and told I should have murked the Kansas. Got popped for a murder attempt. Knocked me on D block when I was burning the hemp. Had a brick in the stash, hope they don't take it to a further extent. Locked up and they won't let me out. When I hit my cell block, know the threat be out.
I'm steady trying to find the motive. Why I do what I do? And freedom ain't getting no closer. No matter how far I go, my car is stolen. No registration, cops patrolling, and now they done stop me and I get locked up. They won't let me out, they won't let me out. Locked up, they won't let me out, no. They won't let me out, locked up. Town to Rio, back with a couple peeps. The corner block's on fire, from the covers dressed as fiends. Making so much money, products moving fast. Put away the stash, and as I sold the last pack, down and got locked up. They won't let me out, they won't let me out. Locked up, they won't let me out, no. Locked up, they won't let me out. They won't let me out.
that I'm locked up, I rep two sets, so I'ma ride or die and stay deep locked up. Two toothbrushes up, whoever wanted would pee. When I walk by, get up, cause I'm locked up, they can't get me out. I smoke a sticker, it's when they stress me out.